Religious broadcasting emerged in the same time and the same place as broadcasting of any kind, specifically Pittsburgh, around 1920. Later in that decade, the newborn networks made their deals with the mainstream faiths, but in those early years, conservative evangelists predominated, charismatic voices that worked the medium like a revival hall, captivating their far-flung congregations with the magic and the mystery of radio. In a piece for the PRI program called The Next Big Thing, Amanda Aronchek aired some of those voices one more time. Here's a short excerpt of that.
Like most people, you didn't understand how these voices found their way into your home each week. And the voice would all of a sudden disappear. Through interference, through static, through atmospheric changes. Maybe it wasn't hard to believe that it was Satan himself disrupting the sermons.
In Ephesians 2:2, Satan is referred to as the prince of the power of the air.
The devil lives in the second heaven, which is thought to be the lower, more dense part of the atmosphere. And in Radioland, maybe he could block the signals as they traveled heavenward.
Come, come, come. In Genesis, come. In Matthew, come. Clear through to the Revelation, the word predominates, rings like bells, sweeps as the tones of a mighty harp, peals like the thunderous notes of a great and a glorious organ.
Preacher Amy Semple McPherson would actually put her hands on the radio transmitter and believed she could heal through the radio waves.
My precious Lord,
my precious Lord
has won my heart.
Has won my heart.
In 1927, when this broadcast was made, Semple McPherson wasn't worrying too much about the laws of radio waves. Her station was transmitting so loud that she would cross into other stations' airspace. And she wasn't worrying about it because she was answering to a higher authority. So when people complained, she blamed it on the minions of Satan who were trying to contain her and her broadcasts.
My Lord anymore.
You can hear the whole story at thenextbigthing.org.